This is Mick from National Rock Review. I have Lawrence Goen of Styx on the phone with me today. How are you, sir?
I couldn't be better, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're all looking forward to your appearance here on July 10th at Freedom Hill Amphitheater here in Detroit after a long, hard winter. You guys have the soundtrack of Summer Tour coming up with Foreigner and Don Felder.
Yeah, this is, last time we spoke, we talked about the fact that, we're very much ready for the soundtrack of Summer after the winter that we've been through. And now it's becoming a distant memory, but this tour has been astounding in the first month of it, and people have responded just exactly as we kind of thought they would, which is, singing nearly 4 hours of classic rock tunes that they've heard throughout their lifetime. Particularly in the summer, you can picture driving along and listening to every single one of these songs, and for half the audience that's under 30 years of age and went around when some of these biggest songs came out, they seem to be like wrapping them onto their own brand new soundtrack of summer. So classic rock is alive and well on this tour.
Absolutely. Now, you have three iconic entities of classic rock on this tour. You have Styx, you have Foreigner, you have Don Felder of the Eagles, and you guys released a soundtrack, a summer soundtrack, with all three of you on one album, and then you also worked on a remake of Hotel California.
Yes, and we released that just at the start of the tour, and it's been on Billboard throughout these last number of weeks. In the top 100, and we're all three of us pretty thrilled about that. But the collaborating began actually in January of this year, and began in Los Angeles. We got together Don Felder, Tommy Shaw, myself, Kelly Hansen, Mick Jones, and Jeff Dilson, Foreigner, and we put together a medley of all three bands, the Jukebox Hero, Hotel California, and Blue Collar Band. Just basically do a week of promotion for the tour in New York, and that, I think, was one of the greatest jumping off points for a tour, because we really felt united in our belief in this bill, and began to realize ourselves and to understand just the depth of significant musicians going to be playing on this tour, from Don Felder, who was the writer on so many of the most standard of standard Eagles songs, Hotel California, Life in the Fast Lane, etc. And to have him along as a special guest with his tremendous band, and then to feel what a night of music of Foreigner, hit after hit after hit, and then Styx, the epic adventure that that is. I mean, we knew this was going to be very strongly this was going to be a great combination. And then when we played on television together, did some, radio and print interviews together, that really kind of solidified our little campaign here and got us ready and anxious to start this tour. And it's been everything that we believed it would be.
How did the genesis for this tour package come about?
I'm never quite certain how these things evolved. I mean, 2 years ago, we got a chance to go to him with Yes. I don't even know how that actually came about. At the end of another suggestion, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. Foreigner, we've done a few shows with them in the past, and we did England with them actually 2 years ago. And we realized what a great combo it was during that tour. But we've even raised the level of what the show can be with Ben at that day. I guess our management companies and the booking agencies and the venues, they all kind of colluded together to say, you know what would be a great package this summer? And I think that they begin those discussions probably in the fall of the previous year, and then you begin kind of feeling out what the possibilities would be, and that's how it comes together.
Now, with the depth of the Styx catalog, you guys have hundreds of songs to pick from. How do you guys decide what to play on every tour when you go out?
Really, that might be the toughest thing, as it has to go down every night backstage. At my first 7 or 8 years in the band, I used to get involved in that process. And now, I leave Tommy and JY, and sometimes we even leave it to our production manager to choose, because there are so many choices, and so such a, I'll use James Young's quote, an embarrassment of riches when it comes to, things for the band to play, great, songs for the band to play, but it's really, on any given night, there are going to be the standard stick songs like Fooling Yourself, Ladies, Come Sail Away, Renegade, Blue Collar Man, Grand Illusion. Those ones are going to be in for sure. And then we have a great choice of what to build around that, because for a lot of the younger people who come to see us, some of their favorite songs were not the singles that came out and were played, so extensively on Class Rock Radio, but instead, for some of them, their favorites may be, like Man in the Wilderness, or Great White Hope, or I'm Okay, or Light Up, or, one of those songs. So we try to include as many of those as we can, and we keep, rotating those ones and getting them into the shows, because they've become as standard as say Renegade has to some of the people who are new to the band, so to speak, of course.
Now, you've been with Styx going on 15 years. In fact, I believe this is your 15th year with the band as lead singer and keyboardist now. So how does it feel to be part of one of the most iconic rock bands in America when the American music taste is so fickle and ever-changing, yet Styx and Foreigner and the Eagles and Felder are just a constant mainstay that are transcending the American market?
Well, it's a fortunate position to be in, to come into a band like this. And as you say, it was actually over 15 years ago now that I joined. So I feel well greased in at this point, I suppose. It's a band that I'm blown away with the fact that it's such a great performing band, I can look across the stage on any given night and just see, how entertaining the show is, and I'm looking at the other four guys on stage and seeing that they really have a way of putting the songs across that's so entertaining. There's just a built-in non-stop entertainment factor that goes on with Styx, and that's why I call it the Big Epic Adventure every night. It really is a larger than life experience. It's something that you can't download. It's something you have to experience live and be in the arena and feel what that feels like. And that's why we play over 100 shows a year, and why audiences just keep coming back and growing and growing, and why the band has been so successful in every era of its existence.
Speaking of being at live concerts and being there to experience it, the way the music market has changed so much now, the recording industry with iTunes and downloadable MP3s and singles, how do you as a musician find yourself able to stay relevant apart from working with Styx to get your music out there and heard, whether it's a solo project or working with Styx?
Well, it's important, of course, to do that, and it's you just have to be clever and look at the timing of it and be aware of the variances in the market. I hate to use that word, but that's exactly what it is. The most recent thing we put out was the double live DVD of Grand Illusion of Decent Hate done in their entirety, where we recorded the last show of that tour, the second live. Was in Memphis, and we put that out, and that has really has been a tremendous piece to have out there, and just reminding people of what a strong show it is, what strong music it is, and how it still means stuff to people, how it means so much to people. But in addition to that, we're constantly writing, we're constantly in sound checks, playing new pieces, etc. But we have to be. We're always looking at the reality of when should we record this? When, is this the most timely thing for us to do? when do we take 6 months off to go make a new record when there are so many places around the world that want to see the band, and we have so much material to play for them already. So unfortunately, that's a lovely dilemma for us to fall into. We've got new things we want to play, and we will play new things. I mean, we've got some special shows coming up even next year where we've got a couple of new things that are being worked into that as we speak. So it's very important to us, but you know, as they say, time is epic.
Going back to the live show on this tour, have you guys, all three bands, combined on stage to perform a number together as a final encore, or do you guys just prefer to keep it separate?
You know, what we've done so far is, you know, we re-recorded Hotel California together, and every night on tour so far, not a promise thing, but every single night, Tommy ends up going out there and playing Hotel California with Don Felder. So that's been a great little feature in the nightlife. As far as Foreigner goes and Sticks, well, I think there'll be some of that toward the end of the tour, but at this point, there's so much music in the nightlife. It would be weird to kind of step on the other band's stage because the shows are so refined and polished and they're I stood side stage last night watching Foreigner. Yeah, I felt a couple of moments where it's like, okay, this would be a good moment to kind of go on. But I was enjoying their show so much that I felt like, no, I don't have to kill the lily here. I think that the audience are digging it just enough, exactly as it is.
Certainly. Now, you yourself, you're one of the most engaging and dynamic keyboard players. I had quoted you before as being the David Lee Roth of keyboards on stage.
That's your take on it. I like it.
Well, you're definitely a very full of energy and vigor man on stage, and it's very entertaining watching you on your keyboard rig. So do you practice new moves every year, try to come up with something different?
No, not really. Every year what I try to do is just be as good on stage as I did the previous year. I've done that now all throughout my life, and I think that the spinning keyboard, of course, is kind of the trademark thing that I started in 1990. I did a video with Alex Lifeson from Rush on guitar, and his part in the video was this section where he steps out of a burning barn to rip into a and Alex solo, and so to kind of be a counterfoil to that video, I came up with a spinning keyboard and went to our lighting rig company, and they made it. And after the video, you know, it was discussed, you should take that on stage with you, you know. And so I've had it now. When I joined Sticks, I actually brought it out for our initial rehearsal, and I wasn't going to use it at first. And then halfway through the rehearsal, I probably tried to. The spinning keyboard, they were like, yeah, we were hoping you'd put that thing on stage. I started with it. Every year I just about kill myself on it, but somehow I find a way to survive.
Have you ever considered making it mobile on stage so you could sort of drive it around?
I've considered that, and yes, that was the end of my career. we get to the finish line a lot quicker if I ever did that. I'm not that good a driver.
I know we had joked in the past about doing a Tommy Lee 360 roller coaster style idea with the keyboards.
Yeah, and that was a great suggestion. I think I think if we're, you know, those little bags they give out on airplanes, you know, in the front pouch of everyone's seat, we might have to do that in the audience if I decided to put on that kind of harness and start to flip end over end. I saw some cameras do that actually in the 70s on. I think he did it on a California Jam show, and I thought, well, there's it with a grand piano. That's not something I'd want to keep up for an entire night. You never know. Maybe one day that little circuit back will make its way into Sticks World.
Right on. And finally, what is the best piece of advice that has stuck with you throughout the years in your musical career ever given to you?
Oh, man, what a great question. There have been a few. There really have been a few really great ones. remember Getty Lee told me once, always take your wallet out to nature here. I like that one. That comes from playing all the clubs that we played in Toronto growing up. Rush used to play in a place called Gasworks, and I was in a band that played the same place. So that kind of advice went well there. John Anderson, from Yes, he sang on one of my records, my solo record. He once told me that the great thing about being an artist is that whether your career goes up or down, just try to keep making the right decisions for for what to do next, and things will somehow work themselves out. And particularly if your career is going to a lower ebb, the decisions you make there are really vital to what the future is going to bring. So don't make a snap judgment on things carefully weigh things out and see what the right path is for you next. And I think that advice really stood me well when I decided with the offer to join Styx to let my solo career go for a little while, because in a lot of ways it was difficult for me to do, because people in the U.S. were not that aware of it, but in Canada I had multi-platinum records and played all the biggest venues where Styx played. But I just felt that I run that path for 14 years, and the opportunity to be in this legendary band was just too good to pass up. So I'm glad I made it.
Hey, you worked the dream, now you're living the dream.
There you go.
Lawrence Gowan, thank you so much for your time today. We look forward to seeing you on July 10th here in the Detroit area and many other stops along the way on this tour. The amazing Soundtrack of Summer tour with Foreigner, Styx, and John Felder.
Thank you, Mike. Always great to talk to you, and I look forward to seeing you in Michigan.
Absolutely, sir. You have a great day.
Cheers, you too.
Good day.
Bye now.